So I did IVF twice, but I have to go again, but I'm single and I don't have time to wait around for men. A donor bank's impersonal, just too much of a gamble, and you're so great and blah, blah, blah. Okay, no more preamble. I want your sperm. I want your DNA. I want your baby. And I want it like today. You're smart, talented, healthy, athletic. The flaws you have don't seem genetic. I mean that as a compliment. Plus, your disinclination toward procreation makes the perfect combination to provide immunization from a fraught situation and or legal complication down the line. And I'm attracted to the fact that you're avoidantly attached, so you're naturally a match. Like if you had a kid you'd never met, you'd just forget and totally be fine. I also mean that as a compliment. Look, it's a favor to me, but also to you. Cause think about this, if you're torn, you get to fulfill the male urge to procreate, but also the male urge to not really help when they're born. Deadbeat dad, no one's mad. Best deal anyone's ever had.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. You know, it's always good news when I come on before an episode. Usually it means that I have screwed something up technically and you're going to be on the losing end of content. Not so much this time. We were really excited when we heard Ricky Lindholm was going to come on the show, and we had such a wonderful time with her. Ricky is a talented comedian and musician, actress, and writer. And while the interview went great, and we certainly enjoyed this conversation, the technology that we use must have had a bad day at the office, because there are parts of the episode when it sounds like Ricky is about 10 and a half miles away. It doesn't last for long, and it's not for the entire episode. It certainly is not bothersome enough to put this episode in the can, but it is bothersome enough that I thought I would address it. So you know, if Ricky does fade out a little bit, just give it a second. She'll come back. When you have a million wires running from a million different things, and then you rely on someone else's technology to teleport celebrities into your TV, there will come an occasion when that teleportation gets a little foggy. But I think you'll still really like our conversation with Ricky Lindholm. And Chrissy's a big fan, so let Chrissy lead this one. Sorry for any muddy audio. Not our fault. Swear to God. Enjoy.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on a TCB infomercial day. Ricky Lindholm is here.
I can't wait to talk to her.
Let's get it on. Ricky Lindholm. Oh, yeah. Ricky Lindholm is a famous comedian, musician, writer, actress. She is a multifaceted young lady who does a lot of stuff, Chrissy, and one of those things is put out music. She's got a new album.
I know.
It's out right now. You grab it on Spotify. It's funny. Chrissy, you listened to it, didn't you?
I did.
Good for you. Look at you doing the homework. No Worries If Not is the name of the album that is on Spotify or anywhere else you get your streaming music. She's also going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Woolly Mammoth Theater doing her one-woman play, Dead Inside, from July 9th to the 27th. Eight shows a week is insane because she's a parent, too. And we do 30 shows a week and it's driving me fucking crazy. So certainly we'll ask her about that. But you can buy those tickets. I know tickets are available at rickylindholm.com, or the links are in the show notes. I'll send those to you. She's also got a lot of stuff out there on YouTube. I'll ask her about her YouTube evolution because she's been doing this for a while. She's basically a comedian who does like music, like, I want to say Weird Al Yankovic, but it can be a little bit more blue, a little bit more for adults. On her website, it says songs, funny songs for adults.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's where you go with it. Ricky is also married to Fred Armisen, little known fact. Mm-hmm. There you go. And she's gracing us with her presence here today. And I thank her for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. After some fits and starts. You know, Ricky was originally supposed to be a part of our at TCB Endless Day, but because of a scheduling conflict, it didn't happen. But that's just well enough, Chrissy, because now she can have her own time right here today without
all of
the drama, the muss, the fuss, and the 3,625 different episodes. So let's do this. Why don't you take this one? You do it.
I agree. I would love to.
All right. Chrissy's going to do Ricky Lindholm. I'll be here, but Chrissy will do Ricky Lindholm when we get back. Why don't we do this? You speak. Why don't we do this? We'll take a break. And when we get back, Ricky Lindholm, through the magic of telepodcasting, will be right here in this studio through that television and in your ears. What do you think?
I think we should do it.
We'll be right back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Hi, how's it going?
Great, good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So how did you, I know you're a big part of musical comedy. How did that happen? How did you kind of veer in that direction?
Well, I always loved it. I was obsessed with Weird Al and just any funny song. I would listen to it over and over and over as a child. I was so into it. And then when I learned to play guitar when I was like 17 or 18, I just started writing my own like little funny songs, but not professionally, just for fun. And I would play them for my friends in my dorm room kind of thing. And then when the writer's strike happened in 2007 or 2000, whenever it was, I met my friend Kate Micucci, who had also been writing comedy songs for about 10 years. We'd both been writing comedy songs on our own for about 10 years before we met.
Oh, wow.
And then we were kind of like, oh, we should try writing one together. Because we had all this time.
Sure.
It was the writer's strike. And then we were like, oh, this kind of works. This is interesting.
You found then, your musical soulmate.
Totally.
And your comedic soulmate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask a question just real quick?
Yeah.
Were you the kind of kid who would run around like making up funny songs to noted tunes? Like you would just put your own lyrics to it?
No. I didn't start writing funny songs until I was like in high school.
Oh, okay.
But I would, you know, memorize every Weird Al song. Sing them in the car with my brother.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like super fans. We knew every
loved
lyric.
Weird
yes.
Al.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Still do.
Yes. Have you ever met him?
Yeah. Yeah. I've played on stage with him, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Where did you play on stage with him?
It was, oh, gosh. I think it was at the Virgil, at the bar at the Virgil. There was I can't remember. It was that Super Serious show. They moved venues a lot, but
oh,
it was
yeah.
Super Serious. And they paired us up, and we played a song with him, and it was really fun.
Oh, God, that's like a dream come true.
But we had to find a song, you know, because he's a clean comic. He doesn't swear.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So we had to dig deep to find one of our songs that didn't have that.
Was that a request of his, or is that just like something you just understood going in?
We just understood it.
Yeah, just like don't.
I mean, I'm sure he would have requested it had we been like, hey, will you do the loophole? He'd be like, I don't think that's my brand. So we were like,
the loophole.
The song that we offered was one of our cleaner ones.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Smart thinking. Know your audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And how did you and Kate meet?
We met, we both were doing, there was a period of time, tell me if you remember this, where every woman in commercials had huge eyes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, like, there was, like, when I started auditioning for commercials, it was all, like, the Maxim girls, like, the Doritos girl. Like, that was the look. And then all of a sudden, it flipped. And it was just these women with big eyes. And I started booking everything, and so did Kate. And we were just always at the same commercial callbacks. And it was, and I still remember just seeing all the same girls. And we all kind of became friends. And that's the initial way we
met. So, which commercials would we have seen you in?
I did so many that all of my conflicts were filled. So say you do like a snack food, then you have a 2-year conflict with snack foods and you can't do any more.
Yeah, gotcha.
Foods.
Okay.
So basically I was in so many that they were filled and I had to take a 2-year break. And that kind of felt like a good wrap up because I was like, wow, I really did it.
You yeah. know,
there was one commercial where I got cast the same guy got cast as my husband in 2 different commercials.
You are kidding me.
No, and we were like, we saw each other, and they were like, how do you guys know each other? And we both realized, we're like, oh, if they know we're in another commercial together, one of us is getting fired. And
so don't say a word.
Both of us go, acting class.
Right.
And then we looked at each other, we're like, dude, oh my gosh. And then we were kind of like, don't tell anybody. Great.
Are these, can I ask you a question about commercial work? Is it good pay? Like the national commercials, is it good pay?
So it used to be. I think now it's a little different.
Yeah.
I think it's, I think there are all sorts of different tiers of payment now. It used to be really good pay. It used to be, it got me health insurance. It like got me out of waitressing.
Nice.
It really was amazing for me.
Oh, that's, I had new actor friends and some of them had mild success, but the mild success was in commercial work. And this is, you know, a decade back. And they would say that while the dream is to be in whatever, right? A bit part in the ongoing series or a pilot or whatever, really the bread and butter is the commercial work, as it was for them anyway, because it paid so well at the time. But I imagine now there are so many X factors in the contract that the people who make the commercials have figured out a way to whittle it down to just a few dollars. If you play in Atlanta, it's $300. If you play on the West Coast, it's $800. So,
and it's like nothing if it plays online, which is everything. It's like that kind of, I don't know if it's nothing, but it's just, the game has definitely changed.
Yeah.
Where it used to be, and maybe the conflicts are different. Like maybe they had to take away where you can't do another commercial for 2 years,
sure,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Before they paid you well enough where it was worth it.
Yeah.
Where you're like, yep, great.
To sit out for 2 years. I can imagine Kate's in every medical commercial, every snack food commercial, every hygiene commercial.
That I was going to say like, hair, maybe shampoo.
Yeah. Yes. Coffee? Is there a coffee out there that might need me?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I was doing all of that. And then Kate and I, we met around the commercial audition world. And then we were at UCB just seeing a friend's show. And we officially like became friends in the lobby because we were like, hi, we've been seeing each other for 2 straight years. Hi.
Nice. And how did you decide on the name, the Garfunkel and Oates?
I was seeing Hall and Oates at the Hollywood Bowl, and the camera, I was in the very back, you know, waitress salary. I was in the super back, so you could only see the screen. And the camera was like a close up on Hall and then Oates in the band. No two shot and no Oates close up. And I was like, this is really weird. Like, and so it just, it was kind of made me laugh, and I was, and then, and that's how.
You know, this makes absolute sense, because if you hear the history of those two, right? I think the reality is it's probably in the contract that they don't want to be in the same shot together.
Right?
Those two hate each other. They're one of the most successful pop duos of all time, and they can't stand each other. I always had this impression that Hall was driving down the street and like saw Oates on the side of the road and was like, come on, man, let's be in a band. And then from the minute they got in the car together, they just like disliked each other altogether. But I have heard so many stories online, read them online, seen it in documentaries, that they just can't stand each other, even though they were hit makers, like hit after hit after hit.
Didn't they meet during like a shooting?
Like a shooting.
I think there was like a gunman and they were hiding. I'm not making this up. I think they were like hiding in an elevator.
Oh together. My God.
No
that
shit.
Would be incredible.
It's something like that. I don't want to mess up the details, but there's, it's something in that zone where they were like trapped somewhere.
Well, I can't go for that.
Exactly.
No can do. Yeah. Well, before I die, I've got this ditty in my head. You want to work it out with me?
Right.
That's really funny. I did not know that. I'm going to follow up on that because that would be it. That's
we
a whole episode.
Became friends with John Oates during the Garfunkel and Oates days.
Oh, nice.
No.
The best. He's the nicest guy. He's so cool. He took me guitar shopping in Nashville.
Wow.
Like, what?
I cannot say enough amazing things. And he's an amazing solo musician. He's just like, I mean, it's not a surprise, but he's like an actual talent. Like he can play so well. You know, he's just.
That's okay. Insane.
I grew up in the time of Hall & Oates, early MTV days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard not to like the music because it was really being pushed in your face. As an adult, I kind of connected with Hall & Oates and really realized that they are probably one of the greater R&B bands of all times.
They're so
fucking talented. And if you listen to their live albums, 10 times better than anything they ever did on MTV. I always just had an affinity for Oates. I don't know why, but the guy in the background always like that. I was just attracted to like that guy, right? Not attracted to him, but you know, like that guy.
You want the underdog.
I want the underdog to win. That's right. What happened? What's going on with him? What's his deal? So it doesn't surprise me that you say he's the cool guy, because I think you have to be the cool guy to kind of take a back seat to all the shenanigans that are going on up front, right?
Yes.
And still be okay with it.
Yes.
So you went guitar shopping with
Oates.
I know,
in Nashville. I used to live in Nashville. That's so cool.
Oh, so yeah, I, to be fair, I know nothing about their actual relationship. It's just stuff I've read.
And yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Me really liking Oates. I know nothing about the.
Yeah. And I mean, Hall talks about it all the time. Yeah. I think Hall is the really outspoken one about the whole situation.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. He talks all the time. He talks trash about the whole thing, you know? And whatever, I don't want to get into it. It's not a Hall & Oates conversation interview, but you know, you understand. Like, I don't think he's shied away from sharing his thoughts and his feelings on the relationship that they have. And it's been strained from the beginning. So, but they, like a lot of musical relationships, out of that stress and strain and push and pull has come some incredible music. Is there strain? Like, when you're on stage with your writing partner, does good music come out of some of the troubles, toils, stress that you guys have, that you girls have? Excuse me.
No.
Good.
We can only write music when we're like giggling and laughing and getting along. Like, we need like a common enemy. We're like, oh, we hate when other people do that. We're not out of our strife. It's like, we have like slumber party vibe and then start talking about things that we don't like. And then that's more of what it is.
Like pregnant smug people.
Exactly.
And were you smug when you were going through your pregnancy?
I was very smug. Yep.
I love it. Well, now you've got your new solo album, No Worries If Not, which I love the title to that. It kind of parallels Brian and I's podcast slogan for a while, which was, it's not for everyone. And that's okay.
It's like if you like very wordy, joke a minute kind of songs about aging and menopause and infertility, then this is
is the album for you.
Yes, this is for you.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
If you don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
Take it, leave it.
Exactly.
I'm at the age, much older than you are, but I'm at the age where you really do get to a point where it's like, if you try and be everything to everybody, which I think all of us do at some point, if you're everything to everybody, you're nothing to nobody. So just do whatever it is you do, and you will find those people, or they will find you, given enough time, enough episodes, enough words out there.
It's do what you do and then be patient.
Yeah, then just be patient. That's what you have to do.
People to find you.
Do you find in the age of... I guess there's no way not to find, to believe this, but in the age of the internet and social media specifically, that cultivating an audience or cultivating the community that loves your music it's like a blessing and a curse, right? It's like you constantly have to push it out. It's a machine that you have to massage at all times. The beast never stops being hungry.
Even you saying that makes me like...
It makes you stressful, doesn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
I'm not feeding the algorithm the way I should. I always feel like I'm not putting enough time and effort into social media, and I know I should be doing more, but it's hard.
It's hard.
It's never enough.
It's a lot of time.
And Kate and I, we were one of the first like bands that like broke out on social media. We were like when we started YouTube, I thought it was a file sharing service because I couldn't attach my videos to email. I was trying to send my video to we sang a song of ours on my couch, and I was trying to send it to my mom, and it was too big. And someone's like, oh, YouTube, you can just... So I just uploaded it and I sent the link and not like...
No
our
way.
YouTube channel
you just stumbled onto it.
It was like the first half of my email address. Like I wasn't... We did not think anyone would see it. And then people... And then we just looked and it was like a month later and we had 10,000 views and we're like,
whoa.
Who saw... We didn't know anyone saw it.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
We were like, hang on. Wait. What? And that was like a lot at the time. We were just like...
Yeah.
And because there was no one on YouTube, they kept featuring us on the front page.
Oh, my God.
That is fucking insane.
Yeah. It's like you either got to be first, most, or best, and we were first.
It's true. You're the first person in history to, like, stumble in. Not the first person in history. Unlike anything we've ever done.
No.
You stumbled into something that caused great success. First of all, probably because people enjoyed the content. The content was good. But then you like hit on this thing so early on that you had no idea what it was. Like most people had no idea what it was. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
We were shocked and we were like, I guess we should write another song. We'd only written two songs and we were like, and they were for like a short we were making. I'm like, I guess we should we write a third one? And it just kind of went from there. And then more people watched it and we went, what if we did a show? Do you think people would come? And then they did. And we were like, what is, wait, do we accidentally have a band? And
yeah.
Like, stop doing everything else and only do this. And we're like, yes, we should.
Oh my God.
And it was kind of around the time when I had all my commercial conflicts, like, we'd had like a little bit of extra money and time and it's just a perfect storm.
That's wild.
Is there a moment that you remember? Like, did you literally have that moment? Oh my God, should we stop doing everything else? Focus on this because the ball is rolling and the wave is coming. We need to jump on it.
Yes, it was really, well, so there was kind of two. One, I was out of town for some reason and Kate called me and she said, the creator of Scrubs wants to use that first song we ever put up on my couch. They go, they want to use it as a musical number in Scrubs.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm sorry. What? Like, I know. It's like finding out, you know, when you find out Martin Scorsese watches Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the creator of Scrubs watches our YouTube. You're like, what are you? That it seems so crazy. And we're like, okay, yes. Yes, he can. Yes, great. And then it kind of kept rolling. And then one day I went to therapy and I was like, okay, I'm a little torn because I feel like I'm doing all these things. And I told him about all of them. And I'm like, I don't know how to spend my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what to do. And the therapist was like, what's this last thing? Tell me about this band. And I'm like, well, it's like, I don't know if there's like a way to make money from it. I don't know. And I'm started talking about it. And he was like, that just seems interesting to me. And he basically was like, it sounds like all the other things are things that a lot of people could do. And this last thing sounds like maybe the thing only you can do. And I was like, oh, I walk out of therapy and I'm like, I wonder. And my friend Rachel Blanchard calls me and she goes, I had a crazy dream about you. And I'm like, what? She goes, that band that you're doing. She's like, that's going to change your life. It happened in my dream. I know I'm right. And I was like, my therapist just said that. And then I called Kate and I was like, I think we need to focus on this band.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a big, yeah. So that was, so I guess I did, that was kind of the day.
Did you give this therapist a tip? Because I've been to therapy most of my adult life in some way, shape, or form. And my therapist has never once said to me, that podcast thing,
that
sounds like what you should do. He usually says, I think this podcast is a way for you to avoid adult responsibilities, Brian. But that's amazing that he would, he would be so bold about a statement like that. Like, that sounds interesting and that sounds like something only you could do. It's like he's channeling something,
right? Yeah, and he was like you put it on a link to show your mom and these people are coming to you.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my life I was getting incoming calls. I was always in like the auditioning business, the outside call business. And he's like, you're getting incoming calls. Like, that's good.
Wow.
It's a good, follow those breadcrumbs. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that is. And then it happened so quickly after that.
God, the stars just aligned for you. That's amazing. And then you did another period as well with Natasha Leggero, which was on our show.
That was my favorite thing I've ever done.
It was so funny. I loved that show. I loved it. How did you guys kind of come up with that?
We were, it was during a time when Kate got super busy. She was doing a lot of TV shows and whatever. And so I kind of had a little break from Garfunkel & Oates and I wanted to make something else.
Yeah.
And Natasha's like, how did you and Kate come up with your thing? And I was like, well, we were writing songs for a short we were making. And she goes, well, let's make a short. And then we met up like every night for a week trying to think of ideas. And we just couldn't think of any. And then we're like, what if we have some wine?
Yes, that always helps.
And we went out, we had a glass of wine and we were just like laughing about stuff. And I was like, what are you interested in? And she was like, well, she's like, I'm really interested in like the Gilded Age and class. And she's like, what are you interested in? I was like, I've been watching a lot of reality shows.
Yeah.
So Natasha's like, what if we marry those? What if the Kardashians moved into Downton Abbey? Like,
Show?
And then we were laughing so hard and we were just like, okay, let's do this. And then we did.
Yeah, it's a brilliant show. Natasha came on and it is a brilliant show. It is super funny. It's so well done. And, did you, like, when you, what was, like, a writing process there? Did you guys just get together and throw crazy stuff at the wall and see what stuck?
You know, we had to, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys have had the same with your podcast. You have to kind of feel it out. Like, you try things and see what sticks. Like, our process evolved over the years. And, at first it was, like, a little random and delicate where you're like, no, you could put that line in or I don't. And then it gets just more easy and you trust each other. And it's But we just decided to write, like, a 10-page short. And then we made the short because we wrote the 10 page short, and we're like, should we make this a pilot or do we make it into a short? And then we're like, it's not funny on the page, so we need to film it.
Yeah.
And then we did. And then we wrote a pilot and a short, and we took it out and pitched it.
Wow. It's just like a confluence of circumstances that leads to kind of creativity realized. Like 17, yeah. 18 years old, you pick up a guitar, right? This hidden talent comes out of nowhere, which is I can write tunes and I can make them funny, right? You're just an admirer of it. Then you realize that it comes through you. And then that leads to, oh, I'll bang around Hollywood for a while and see if I can pick up a couple of acting gigs. That leads to a couple of years of incredible success. And then all of a sudden, you again stumble into this like passion that you have for making music and making it funny. And the rest of the world finds you because you are emailing your mom through YouTube.
And that's still so amazing.
That's still so amazing.
It's so crazy because I learned a big lesson from that, because when I was writing these songs, these comedy songs, when I was like 17 and 18, like people would actually listen and they'd want me to like record it and send it to them. But I didn't pick up on those signals.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just went, oh, that's a hobby. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to act in Shakespeare.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like I didn't take any signs. You know, I just ignored them because I was like, I'm going to be this other thing. And then when the YouTube thing happened, it had been like 10 years of signs that I should be writing funny songs. And I just went, no. And I was like, okay. It was so obvious that it was like, okay, now I have to do it. But so then when another period happened, when we had that idea that felt so good, I was like, no, we need to jump on this. Like,
yeah,
I didn't jump on the last one. Mm-hmm. We need to jump on this one. Like, because you don't get those ideas that often, or you don't get that feeling, that lightning strike.
True. Have you seen The Matrix?
Yes.
Of course.
I don't remember it though.
Okay. So there's a part in the movie where, you know, Neo, I mean, and this is honestly, I haven't seen this movie in years and years and years, but this one moment sticks with me it appears in my life at times. It's appearing right now. There's a moment where the guy keeps on telling him, you have to go see the Oracle. And the Oracle will tell you whether or not you're the one, mm-hmm. right? And he goes to the Oracle, and she's in the kitchen smoking a cigarette. And she goes, sorry, kid, you're not the one. And he goes back in the elevator, and everybody's all excited because Neo's going to be the one. He says, what did the Oracle tell you? He says, I hate to tell you, she told me I'm not the one. And he goes, I'm sorry, I let you down. And he says, no, you didn't let me down. That doesn't mean you're not the one. She's just telling you exactly what you need to hear right now, right? And so the universe sometimes tells you, I believe, what you need to hear right then,
true.
Right? So maybe ignoring the signs at 17 or 18 took you down a path where you avoided banging around when it wasn't your time, right? Trying too hard or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, you never know. You never. Maybe in a parallel universe somewhere, you're a struggling 22-year-old singer, songwriter, comedian, right?
Totally. So and by the time we put songs out, we'd both had like 10 years of writing songs. Yeah. So they got to kind of be pretty good from the jump.
Yeah. And Hollywood experience. And, you know, you knew the business and you had friends in the business and all
and
that good
knew
stuff.
We people. And that was that was a big advantage too.
It never hurts.
New people. Yeah. Now you don't need to as much because people can DM you on your, you know, Instagram
that's true.
Or whatever. But at the time, you needed those ins.
Those connections. Yeah.
God. Well, speaking of stumbling into things, I read that your first movie was Million Dollar Baby. How did that happen?
Can you believe it? That was like not as much of a stumble. That was like me moving to Los Angeles, knowing zero people and having no way of getting into the business, zero. And so I was like sending headshots to like teeny theater companies. Like the ones on Santa Monica, like these tiny companies. I was just like writing them letters being like, can I audition for your free play? And like no takers, nothing. You know, I was auditioning for student films. Like that's where I was. And then I got an audition for a play. They needed someone that looked like Jessica Lynch. Remember this soldier? I did kind of look like her at the time. I was her age, blonde girl. They didn't have anyone that really looked like her.
Yeah.
So they went through their submissions and I sent a headshot and they're like, do you want to come audition for this? And I was like, yes, I had nothing. You know, I was waitressing. I had nothing going on. I auditioned, didn't get that. But then they were like, we also have this Commedia dell'arte stuff. Do you want to try that? And I'm like, yes. And then I got cast as like a clown.
Oh.
In the play. So I was doing Commedia dell'arte, like clown stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for free on Santa Monica Boulevard, you know, and
oh my god,
and Clint Eastwood came to the play.
Oh no way!
Yeah, that's how that happened.
He came to the play and he said, "Hey, do you want to be in my Oscar award-winning movie, $1 Million Baby?"
No, it was like a longer story than that. But
of course. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was
God. How is he to work with?
The best. Like
he seems
so
like the
spoiled.
Best.
It's just so good. It's so dialed in and it's so easy. And he makes you feel like you're brilliant. And you know, I just was like, wow, this is what it's like. And I'm like, oh no, it's not. It's
right.
Your business yeah. is hard. Like every set is different. His is just like you work like 8 hours a day. There's like we had lunch was like Nobu sushi.
Holy shit.
So and everyone is treated so well. Every extra, everybody's, you know, it's a very quiet set. It's just lovely.
You know, he's been through it. I mean, he's been through every part of it, right? He came up. I mean, this guy's in 3.5 hour westerns where you know they're dragging him by the collar from a horse for 2.5 hours. I mean, you know, so he's been through so much of it. He's one of those gentlemen who I imagine learned the lessons along the way that said, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it correctly and let's do it correctly. And that way we can do it again and again and again. And he just has hit after hit after hit. And so, you know, I don't think anybody would argue that being in a Clint Eastwood movie is probably it's got to be one of the highlights of your career.
Yeah, it was my first one. I didn't even have an agent at that time.
That's crazy. You didn't have an agent
like,
and you're in the movie.
It won the Oscar.
Oh my God, I know.
Did you go to the Academy
Awards?
Did you
go to the Oscars?
No, oh my God. I had like 5 lines in that movie. I was definitely not invited.
Well, thanks, Clint. Thanks for the Nobu and no invitation to the Academy Awards.
Yeah, no.
So, how is motherhood?
Mm-hmm. Your new mom.
Best. Gosh, I'm so lucky. I know everyone thinks this, but I got the best baby in the world.
Aww.
I know. But you do have the best baby in the world.
Yeah.
For you,
yeah,
right? For you.
He's my angel baby. I love him so much. He's great. He's at preschool right now.
Oh.
And then he has dance class.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love that.
You know, a lot of kids, like, you know, not dancing.
Right.
All three-year-olds just like,
you've got
who cares?
Doing their own thing.
Yeah. I've got dancers and some of them are boys. And listen, one of my kids right now is at dance class, actually dance camp. And she absolutely loves it. I'm sure you feel the same way. It's when they're passionate about something, especially when they're very young like this, let them explore whatever it is they explore. They'll be okay. You know,
he's not passionate about it. He just said that he wanted to do something fun.
Good for him.
I asked the other moms at the preschool, I said, what are the things you guys are doing after school? And then I presented him with these options and he picked two of them. And so we are doing those.
Very much like my kid. Yeah.
It's just like, I was like, do you want to do jujitsu? Do you want to do, like, he just had these options and he picked swim lessons and dance.
Ricky, I took my kids to jujitsu, to karate.
Oh, you
karate.
Did?
I did.
You did?
I kind of thought he would pick that. He didn't pick it.
I desperately wanted them to for a number of different reasons. For discipline, organization, community, teaching about respect and honor, and all of those things that you want your sons and your daughters to learn, right? So I took a couple of my kids, a boy and a girl, and I took them to like one of those free classes. They had been calling me, come to the free class. Well, blah, 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 blah. We'll give them a test. We'll see where they're at. It scared the holy shit out of my son, but my daughter absolutely loved it because, you know, the sensei was like a no jokester kind of guy. And my son just, that's not a personality that I think that's not his style. He's not a bunch of bravado and testosterone. And that was the sensei's style. Okay, whatever. And so it just turned out not to be his thing. But he also took dance class when he was 3 years old because he loved to dance. And we said, well, then go to dance camp. Go to dance camp. Who cares? And there are other boys in the dance camp. I don't give a shit. You want to dance? Go dance, kid. Go feel it out. Dance is a great way to express yourself and get energy out and make you tired. So when you get home, you go to bed.
Totally. My son doesn't really dance that much. He more hangs in the back and like,
shakes his booty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone is like, grab a scarf. He'll grab the scarf, but he'll just kind of hold it. Like, he doesn't participate that much, but like, did you have fun? And he's like, yeah. Like, okay. He's definitely not making the most of the dance class. But
tell us about your new album.
I'm so happy.
It's so funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, it
Thank
really is funny. And
so
something that I'm resonating with, too, on a lot of the subjects.
Really? Oh, good. It's I was very scared to do something on my own. And it was a big like psychological thing for me to overcome.
Right.
I think I told myself a lot of stories that weren't true.
Or, as we all do.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to sort of like deprogram myself. And then I was like, okay, here we go. And then just made myself do it.
You're doing eight shows a week, not a tour, a residency.
Right.
Yes.
Eight shows a week in DC, yes. One woman stage play.
Yes. It's called Dead Inside. It's about my fertility journey.
Yeah. And
and a lot of the songs from the album are in the show. That's how the album happened, is because I was writing songs for my musical. And then I was like, oh, these are kind of funny. And then I started playing them at comedy clubs. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll do an album and a show and just have them be separate.
Are you going to film this at some point?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really, really hope so. That's the goal. Like, it's, you know, you see like Alex Edelman did it and Rachel Bloom mm-hmm. and Jacqueline Novak. They've all done this like awesome. And Mike Birbiglia. And like, that's the thing. I'm kind of hoping to be on that path.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. We just had Rachel on and, and
yeah,
I'm
show
in,
was great.
Oh, great. Yeah. Loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Touching and funny and gross and all the things. It rolled into like kind of one, you know, 90-minute shot. And I thought it was fantastic and outside the box in a way that was also relatable and accessible. And so so film it.
Yeah.
Let's get that on film. Yeah.
I saw Rachel's show as I was writing mine, and I actually got some ideas where I was like, ooh, I want to do that too. Like, I was kind of, I never have used like personal videos or photos in anything because it just felt for some reason too intimate, even though I was telling everyone everything. And Rachel had a couple moments in that show where she used, just selectively used personal things. And I was like, I'm going to see if that applies to my show, because it was so effective when she did it that I was like, oh, I wonder. And then, so I copied her. Yeah.
Nice.
Like using photos is not the same.
Yeah.
But I was inspired by that. And I was like, I'm going to maybe dare myself to dig deeper and see what I can actually share from my own life. And I found some good stuff.
So tickets are available on her website. The new album is out and available.
Yes. And
okay.
I have a new video coming next week.
You have a new video coming next week? And on
YouTube.
Yeah, you're going to post it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
great.
35 pictures. And it's about how my husband never takes pictures of me.
Love it.
He's just an old man. He doesn't know what to do. So that's, my wife has the same thing. She's like, you know, she's like, why? Take more pictures. Take more pictures. And I'm like, I'm from that generation where we don't need to film every single thing that ever happened. And she's not from that generation. She's a little bit younger than I am. And she's not from that generation. And there's just so many pictures. But he loves you. You know he does. Do you guys write a lot of music together? You guys ever do music together? That's
We've
crazy.
Never worked together, ever.
Because Fred Armisen is... Ricky's
husband,
just to cue the listeners in. But he's very musical also, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. We need to do... He drummed on my album. Mm-hmm. He drummed on a lot of the songs.
Oh, that's cool.
We've never... we've never written together.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I think maybe there's just some things that couples do, you know, creative ventures that couples do and creative ventures that, like, it's just not...
Or maybe the stars align later.
The stars align later.
It would just have to be that right lightning strike thing, because you don't want to mess with... You have a good marriage. You want to keep that
true.
Amen, sister.
Very true.
There's like a lightning strike moment where we're like, oh my gosh, we have to make this. I'm sure we will. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, hey, let's
forcing
brainstorm
it.
some concept.
Right. At all.
You know where the lightning strikes? Alcohol and mushrooms.
Yeah.
True. Ricky Lindholm.
Thanks so much for joining us
today. A pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. It was so nice to come.
You are welcome back anytime. We would love to talk to you. After you do your show, in the winter, we'd love to hear the recap and what you're up to. And then hopefully you'll have filmed it and you'll be able to tell us where exactly we're going to be able to to watch that. But tickets are available. I'll put a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link to your new video because it'll probably be out by the time this comes out. And then, of course, the album also. Ricky Lindholm, such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming.
So nice to talk to you. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
Bye,
Ricky.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great.
You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker.
Who doesn't want a free sticker?
Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
What a lovely, lovely... Oh, sorry about that. I put an extra swish in there just for you. What a lovely, lovely human that Ricky Lindholm is.
A lot of fun to talk to.
She's welcome back anytime. Mm-hmm. She's welcome back anytime. I love to hear how, like, she puts a video on YouTube looking to send it to her mom. And it's like 600,000 views later. She's famous, and here we go. It seems like everything works out for Ricky Lindholm.
It does.
Unlike the commercial break.
No.
If we had just a smidge of her luck, couldn't we be first? We tried Clubhouse, Fireside, other things. We try the things that fail. She tried the thing that worked. It's funny because I just watched a video on YouTube, on Instagram, which I shared with you, where the guys that started YouTube are in like a college dorm room. And they are wondering when they need to shut down early YouTube because it's only got 40 videos on it. It's like 6 months in. And they're like, yeah, dude, this just isn't working. Holy shit. Can you imagine? And like, how many years later did they get paid like $3 billion from Google YouTube? Unbelievable. Anyway, great to talk to Ricky. Good job, Chrissy, on the interview.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody who helped us put that one together. And thank you to Ricky for being patient while we figured out all the schedules and got ourselves together. Ricky's welcome back anytime.
Yes,
and I had to sneak in one Fred Armisen mention because I do love Fred Armisen. And he's welcome anytime, too. I'm sure he'll be right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not busy. He's doing a one-man play, too. He's like on tour doing a one-man thing. I saw a commercial for it or something on my Instagram. So go to rickylindholm.com to buy tickets to her one-woman play at the Woolly Mammoth Theater July 7th through the 23rd, I think it is. Go there to her website or check the link down in our show notes and you can buy tickets there. You can also get her new album on Spotify or check the show notes. All the info in the show notes. Okay, 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all right there. Please do text us or phone call us. Maybe I'll pick up. You never know. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/The Commercial Break for all the episodes on video, same day they air here on the audio, tcbpodcast.com, all the audio and video, and your free TCB sticker. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll say that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.